Hello, friends, and welcome to World Build With Us, the podcast where we create fantastical worlds with help from you, our listeners. My name is Rob Hilferty, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Johnny Law and Courtney Staples. On today's episode, it's that time of the time that we decide to do this, which is, it's jam time. It's been a while since we've done a jam, especially with one Johnny Law. So I figured, hey, why not do a jam? It's fun. Have a good time, all that good stuff. So we're going to dive right in. But before we dive right in, remember that if you want us to build your world, you can always go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on YouTube, where you might be listening to us right now. And if you are, click subscribe if you haven't already, or click it three times, which will subscribe you, unsubscribe you, and then subscribe you again. I don't know why. It just sounds fun to do. We're also on Twitter at Let's World Build, or you can chat with us more directly by going to our Discord with a link for that in the description. Or if you're just feeling particularly generous or want access to that sweet, sweet patron-only goodies, you can go to our Patreon and give us money there, where you get access in return for your patronage to the Aphid Lounge, Too Hot for Broadcast, the patron-only Discord, among other fun little goodies as well. But with that out of the way, with the shilling done, it's time to dive right into the jam. All right, so our genre that we're going to be dealing with first is... Oh, let's see. Oh, we've got an occult detective story, the theme of which is going to be bottomless hunger. And the focus, the thing that we're going to be starting to focus on first, is the rise of a new era. Wait, no. The rise of a new era. Get it? Get the joke? It's an error. Yeah. So we've got an occult detective story with a theme of bottomless hunger and the focus on the rise of a new era. So, John, kick us off here. What are we thinking? How do we want to approach this story? What are your initial thoughts?
So, occult detective story, it's kind of, we leaning more towards like H.P. Lovecraft, kind of Cthulhu-y thing, or do you want to do more like, what is that, the supernatural? Do more like sexy detectives, or, you know?
I mean, we'll have to figure out whether or not the sexiness is relevant, but...
Okay. Well, bottomless hunger.
They're going for tops then. Yeah, they're tops then, got it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, okay, so the occult detective genre to me is something along the lines of a Harry Dresden, of, you know, like you said, Lovecraft, supernatural, stuff like that. So there's the grand spectrum that we can kind of talk about here. And I'm cool with just about anything, really. So,
all right, you just opened up the floodgates. Let's go. So here's what I'm thinking. I think that there is a new app out that's like a TikTok, Instagram kind of thing, and it is creating this hunger for attention, this bottomless hunger, because I just somehow you put thoughts in my head and thoughts, and that's what I'm going with. And they're trying to figure out like why these people are getting sucked in and just continue to do stupid shit, like record themselves making pranks and when they should be getting beat up for it.
Yeah, so I get the detective. Actually, I don't get the detective part. I'm not getting the occult part either, John. This just sounds like social media. Like, where is the?
Yeah, I really hate the social media. Well, that's why I was leaving room for you guys. You want me to do all the heavy lifting here?
So, Jesus. Okay, so hold on. Just so we're clear, your contribution to this is, guys, what if social media? And that's where we're going. Okay.
No, my contribution is thoughts. I want thoughts in here, and I want to be hungry for attention.
Great. Okay, that we can do, John. Courtney, save us from this hellhole that is thoughts and social media. What have you got for us?
Oh, we're going deeper.
So it's sort of funny because when you were reading off the genre and stuff, I had a very, very different thing in mind from what John was thinking. And I don't know if there's a way to reconcile it at all, but my concept was like, something in the like Paleolithic era. Like,
holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. It might be because I recently saw a trailer for this movie, Out of Darkness. It's like a prehistoric horror film. But yeah, I was thinking something like that, like something that we haven't really done before would be, you know, prehistoric horror. And yeah, I was just thinking, you know, something about maybe it's a tribe that's slowly getting, like, one after another is disappearing into the woods or the wilderness or whatever, and somebody has to figure out what's going on, and bottomless hunger could be, like, the whatever's taking them, which could be, like, a Lovecraftian thing. And then Rise of a New Era, it could be, could even be, like, the next step in metallurgy or tool crafting or something like that. But yeah, totally different than what John was saying.
I can reconcile it, I think.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So Grok notices that Unga is not paying attention to Grok no more because she likes shiny object in jungle. And so it's up to Detective Grok to figure out why Unga Uga and her sister Nunga keep going into the woods, into the forest, I mean jungle, whatever I said earlier.
Oh, like they're going into the woods to do some like secret ceremony thing, and he's not allowed there. He's trying to figure it out.
Well, they stopped wanting to be clubbed by Grok, you know, like when they do the Beast of the Two Backs. And so now he's wondering what their new hunger is.
I see. Right?
I hear Rob slowly dying in the background.
I think it's like a tradition now that when the three of us are doing this together, at least one of us has to be slowly dying at some point.
Mm-hmm. It won't be me, ever.
I think you're right, Courtney. I think that it's a requirement that once we're building something, one of us has to suffer. Suffering is part of the art that we make together. And I don't like that very much, frankly, especially now that I'm on the receiving end of it. So... not a fan. Not a fan of that.
Payback's a bitch.
By the way, so I know that you said horror, Courtney. I can't help but think of like prehistoric detective as like just the smartest man in the cave being like basic reasoning skills prevail. It's like, I'm following this blood trail. Wow, what a smart detective. Truly the most brilliant one of our age. And then it's like they follow that to like a bloody club with someone holding it. And they're like, aha, I bet he did it. You know, like that's the detective part of prehistoric detective.
Well, like, I mean, when you think about it, like humans have always had a high intellect, but it's more a matter of we haven't always had like writing and record keeping. And like that's what kind of made us push forward in our development. Because like if you're just relying on stories passed down, knowledge dies when people die. So, you know, people were smart back then.
Courtney, I know that you're right, but it's funnier my version. So I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
I'm stuck reminiscing about Phil Hartman's Caveman Lawyer right now.
Oh,
so that's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Your Honor, I'm just a simple caveman.
another Phil Hartman.
Another Phil Hartman reference. Yeah, we can't stay away from the Phil Hartman references.
No, he must be remembered.
Truly.
So Phil Hartman is our caveman.
Yeah, caveman detective.
Yeah. And there's some spooky occult shit going on in the woods. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we say occult, how occult are we talking about here?
I would like to go more of a psychic horror, cosmic horror kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We kind of go really deep into it.
Okay.
And maybe this is the new era is actually the change of like Neanderthal being overtaken by human.
So I actually had something kind of similar in mind. Like when you said psychic, I immediately thought of 2001, A Space Odyssey, and imagine that like our sentience, our consciousness is being awoken by this kind of entity. Right. And it's not like a big black monolith. It is something that is far more sinister and far more terrifying. I think I can kind of vibe with that actually. And the arc that I'm kind of seeing here is like, this occult detective destroys this thing that's giving people more intelligence and awareness, but then they themselves like have to take on that burden and like maintain that level of cognitive function while the others around them don't. And so this kind of like extra burden that they have or something like that. Because again, if we're thinking like a little more, you know, Lovecraftian, you know?
Yeah, like a Flowers for Algernon-esque situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Except with like a scary monster.
Yeah, it could be. It's making me think of Color Out of Space by Lovecraft with like the meteorite that hits and weird shit starts happening.
Hey, with the dialogue being just as good in Ape Man times, am I right? H.P. Lovecraft. You can't write dialogue for shit.
That's true. That's true.
He's terrible
at it. Had you seen the Nick Cage movie, by the way?
No. Okay. If Blue Axe is listening to this, I'm sorry. I have not seen the Nicolas Cage film Color Out of Space. I know that it's one of Blue Axe's favorites, but I have not seen it. No.
It's pretty solid.
Speaking of H.P. Lovecraft, Courtney, are you still looking for cat names? Because I'm just thinking. That would be
Hold on. Wait. Yes. Hold on. I support this. Hold on. Go on. Yeah.
What?
Oh, you support this? Oh, no.
I support you tormenting Courtney in this way.
Oh, okay.
Courtney, I feel like there should be a time limit where if you don't give your cat a name by X date, it's defaulting to that.
Oh, God.
I really hope you don't lose him. Yeah. Well, you live in Southie, so that won't be a problem.
Take that, nice. Boston.
Nice.
By the way, Courtney, if y'all don't know, recently got a cat. And has yet to name the cat, despite having it for more than 15 minutes. So, exciting.
It just takes time. You got to get to know the cat.
Literally doesn't. It doesn't take any time.
It is a rename, too. So, it's like, I think you should take your time on that. I mean, the cat doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. He's still settling in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and for context, listeners, this was recorded weeks ahead of its release date. So, by the time this comes out... I really hope it has a name.
So, like
I'll be
I said,
disappointed in myself if it does not have a name.
Yeah, by the time it comes out, it will have defaulted to what John suggested.
Yeah.
And Courtney, save us. Save us and your cat, please.
Yeah, just be careful Googling, you know, Lovecraft cat name if you got people looking over your shoulder. But anyway. Yes.
That's like one of our first jokes, like from way back in episode like 2, I'm pretty sure, is we've mentioned like Lovecraft's cat's name all the time. It's terrible. Fuck Lovecraft, by the way. Like I grew up reading his books as a teenager, and man, that guy fucking sucks as a human. Of course, I can't like knock his contributions to cosmic horror. Like his stories are legitimately interesting and good most of the time. Most of the time, some of them are just dog shit, but still, I owe part of my youth to Lovecraft in a way, just not the cat version.
So Color Out of Space, meteor, spooky things in the forest.
So what about the bottomless hunger? What is the hunger? Is it within the people that are being affected hunger. Or is the thing that's affecting them hungering?
Maybe it's like changing their behavior to either like only focus on it or, oh, maybe it is what's making this tribe of humans suddenly wipe out nearby Neanderthals.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like they had been living in relative peace before this. Our detective who hasn't been exposed to this meteor or has some like resistance to its powers, when all this stuff starts happening, it's like, what the fuck? Like, why are we suddenly butchering our neighbors?
Can we throw in some cannibalism? Yeah, because like bottomless hunger, it either makes me think that like it makes people crave this kind of like it literally makes them hungry, or alternatively, it makes it so they want to bring these Neanderthals to it to feed upon. You know, I'm cool with either one, but I think cannibalism should be in there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Just passing that out there.
I like the idea of it escalating, that it starts off like this almost like a sexual hunger, but then it becomes like warlike, like power, and then it becomes like full on cannibalism.
Mm.
Like just this kind of growth arc of it. And so like it starts off by like, the lady folk are more frisky lately. And then, it's just keeps escalating. Maybe they're actually trying to mate with the Neanderthals. Yeah.
Well, that's a big part of how a lot of people think that like we wiped them out, but in reality we bred them and also wiped them out.
Yeah.
So, that's a really, it also, I'm just thinking of like an orgy of blood and violence. So Courtney,
yes,
up your alley entirely. Yes, yeah,
definitely.
But okay, so really interesting kind of conceit that we've got going on here. However, the one thing that I need to understand a little bit more is surprise, you know, like ironically, is the kind of unknowable horror. Is it a physical thing or is it a mental thing? Like, what are we considering here?
Maybe it's like something physical that affects the mind. Like you have to be close to this thing, or you have to touch it or interact with it in some way to have its disease essentially spread to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can it be like some kind of bacteria or something that was on the meteorite that crashed?
Yeah.
Or is that getting away too far from a cult? Like, is that becoming more science?
That's more sci-fi at that point. Yeah.
But yeah, it can be space stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, how about this? How about a meteor crashed and opened up something in the earth?
Yeah.
A fissure and kind of unlocked something.
Sure. So I like the idea of like the thing that's driving people to do these things is like an echo or like a resonance or like a chime of some kind, where it's just like it's either constant and that like causes this kind of like I'm seeing red violence, or like there's some kind of like, I don't know. I like the idea of it being like sound based in a way, you know.
Okay. What if we went back to the rise of the new era? And we do say that there is some either new form of tool making, or like, I'm trying to think, wouldn't have anything near smelting in the Paleolithic area.
Well, I mean, we can mess with
the timing a little bit.
Okay. How about, okay, one of my favorite poems by Poe is The Bells. And it's completely different if you read it compared to if you hear someone perform The Bells. It's really interesting, really cool. I would love a meteor to crash into this nearby site and uncover a giant bell, whether it be a crystal bell, a metallic bell, what have you. What I'm imagining happening is, you know, this detective has to crack the bell, destroy the bell, and then something happens as a result that gets them killed or burdens them in some way. I'm still trying to hold on to that concept, you know?
Yeah, what I was thinking when you brought up the sound was like, what if this meteorite is very porous and like has holes and crevices in it so that when the wind blows on it, it makes all these eerie, disturbing sounds, which again...
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
He would ultimately have to figure out a way to crack this thing open and destroy it.
That's way cooler. I like that a lot more. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like this howling... kind of like chorus of whales and stuff like that. That's really cool. Love that.
Cacophony. Why can't I say words right now?
Are you trying to say cacophony, John?
Cacophony.
Yes.
Cacophony.
Proud of you, John. Proud of you.
Sorry, I was too busy reading about the three periods of the Stone Age. And
yeah.
Yeah. And if Neanderthals were still alive in the end of the Neolithic, but they were not. They were in the middle.
I mean, we could also do it like a 13th Warrior kind of thing, where like there's a small group of Neanderthals still in existence. So it could be like past when most of them had died out, but like there are a few stragglers holding on.
Ooh, I like that a lot, actually, because it's like we have the perspective of them, right? Like it's not that they're the antagonist or they're the victim. We're with them. They're the POV characters. And they're like on the other side of this ravenous cannibal war where they're like, what has happened to our neighbors? You know, because all of a sudden they were like, we used to have peaceful relations. We used to have literal relations. And now they're like literally murdering us and having blood orgies.
Yeah.
So what's going on? And it's that you kind of follow this expedition of like the last group of Neanderthals as they find this kind of thrumming, you know, wailing stone. And they're like, we know what we must do. And they actually save the rest of humanity from this kind of blood fury as a result or something like that.
So our detective is a Neanderthal then.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. The 13th Warrior thing kicked it in for me. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. I feel like we're good on this one, y'all. I feel like we're ready to go on to another jam. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think somehow that worked out.
Cool.
No, I like that a lot. I'm sorry, John, that we moved away from your thoughts.
Oh, I'm just going to bring it up every time now, no matter what we roll. Yes, it's just I'm locked in.
Okay.
Hey, John, you remember that time that Courtney completely steamrolled your idea? That was crazy.
Yeah. Wasn't the first.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be yes and.
Oh, man. So Courtney, what I'm hearing is that you're going to have to, for payment, right? For penance, really, you're going to have to name your cat the default name unless something happens, is what I'm hearing.
The default name.
The default name, yeah. The gamer name, if you will. Okay. Actually, can we just call your cat Gamer?
Like, gamer word. Gamer word, the cat.
No. Gamer.
Just call him COD. Because then it's both a food and, a lobby of little racist kids.
Yeah, it's not true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's quickly move on to our next jam, for the love of God. All right, so our genre this time is... Ooh, we've got... Oh, God damn it. Post-apocalypse sci-fi, yay. And our theme for the post-apocalyptic sci-fi is... Curses. And our focus for this particular world is going to be... Something monstrous. Okay, so we've got a post-apocalyptic sci-fi with a theme of curses and a focus on something monstrous. John, I let you go first last time, and look where that ended up getting you. So, Courtney, right? Why don't you start us off today? Courtney, what are you thinking? You love the post-apocalypse. You wish that you were there right now.
If only. So, I'm thinking that there's some kind of remnant of a social media app that features really like curvy women, and they're all
say more.
Spying for attention.
Courtney, wait, this is genius. Say more about that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a completely original idea. Let's see. I do feel like a remnant of technology could work here. And shit, maybe it is some kind of like remnant of something that soaks up people's attention.
Do you want to kick the can over to John, Courtney?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, John, why don't you get us started? What have you got for us?
So, there's this app with these girls on it. all right. I want to figure out what the apocalypse was. Mm. And I would like something a little different than your normal flavors of, you know, nuclear war. I mean, we could go like climate change, I guess.
Mm.
But
I feel like that's so passe, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just actually so real. That's what's already also happening. Yeah. So it's not fun.
Yeah, this is about building fantastical worlds, John, not real ones.
AI obviously is an easy one to do right now. But I'd like, what else can we have? What went wrong? What happened?
Well, we can focus on either the theme or the focus, which is something monstrous. Yeah. So we've got theme of curses or something monstrous. When I think of like a post-apocalypse that is monstrous, I'm thinking of either the easy one is zombies, right? We can go with that one easily. But there's also stuff that we can do that might be more interesting, like kaiju. You know, like we could have a post-apocalyptic kaiju era, you know?
I was thinking the super volcano, you know, the caldera in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if that's not just a volcano? What if it's like a kaiju hive or something?
Fucking dragons. Let's go.
It could be dragons. It could be, what's the movie? Rain of Fire.
The Rain of Fire? Yeah, we can actually do the part that I missed.
Yeah.
We just talked about Rain of Fire in our last episode together. Please.
Well, now we're going to build out what happened, too.
Yeah, like it should have been done in the first place.
Yeah,
pussies.
You know, now what I'm thinking is that maybe the original dragons were like way fucking bigger and more destructive than the little crappy ones they showed in the movie.
Yeah, fuck that movie. Okay, wait. Hold on.
Like Death
Courtney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Courtney, I'm willing to stick with the dragons thing, but not Reign of Fire. Mm-hmm. Why not Dragonheart instead? Because again, like there's the curse involved, right? Where they split the heart in half and they give it to the human. And that is monstrous, right? Like, because remember, it's post-apocalyptic sci-fi. So what we could do is like, we start grafting kaiju parts onto each other and then something happens. I don't know, something like that. We got cool ideas somewhere.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, all right, let's tie it all in together that we have, in our current pre-apocalyptic world, the temperature has risen so high on the planet that it has reawoken this dragon in the caldera and has burst out and just is repopulating. I don't know, maybe it's hermaphroditic or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Life finds a way. Yeah. But that could like tie into the curse part that we have cursed ourselves. Because I was also, before we brought up the dragon thing, I was thinking like the curse was that we've dumbed ourselves down so much and like there's no originality. Everyone's just doing fucking duets and dubbing themselves over pre-existing things on their goddamn TikToks.
How are you older than Daniel? How are you older than Daniel? This is crazy to me.
Older than Daniel? I'm
not
much
physically
older.
No, not physically older, John, but like spiritually. Like we call Daniel here on the podcast an ancient mummy, right? Due to his takes. And somehow you are like before the dawn of time,
but
ancient mummy.
I'm not wrong. Like the worst content is someone nodding in the foreground while someone actually makes content. It's the most bullshit thing I've ever seen in my life. And I seriously think those people should be in jail or executed. You know, we need more room in the planet. That's all I'm saying.
So here's what I'm thinking, right? One of the things that always annoyed me about Reign of Fire is that, like, let's be real. Like, how is the United World Military losing to a fucking dragon? It's not happening. I think what might be more interesting is this kaiju rises. And then the world's like, nah, fuck that. We're destroying the shit out of it. And then they do. But in the process, they start turning people into half kaiju, or like there's some kind of like curse that comes with the death of this thing. So it's like there is a triumph, like, oh, we did it. But then the curse is this thing like somehow like making humans into half kaiju or like bio mutants in some way. And that's the monstrous part.
So the kaiju wasn't the baddie at all. The kaiju was stopping the curse.
No, I think that the kaiju is directly involved with the curse.
Kaiju explodes and spews curse all over their faces.
I'm like, I like the idea that killing it leads to something. I'm not totally sold on the like mutant hybrid type thing.
Cool. Like, so what do you got instead?
I was thinking, like, when this thing is under attack, that's when it starts, like, producing its own eggs, which it does, like, leave a brood behind, but we don't know about that right away. Those eggs, like, eventually do hatch, and the world gets in even worse shape because of that.
Okay. I like the idea of, like, leaving something behind. So maybe it's not, like, human mutation that we have to worry about. But maybe it's like the death of this thing causes like plant life to mutate enough where it's just like maybe the plant life is like not sustainable, or it rapidly starts climate change in some way. Or I don't know. I think the idea that like this corpse falls, right? And then spores leak out or blood leaks out into the ecosystem and completely wildly changes this thing. Yeah.
We down it in the Gulf Stream and it pollutes the oceans and causes like mass extinction.
Yeah. I mean, are we also sticking with the caldera idea?
I think that's where it started. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cause that's like another mass extinction. So this is like mass extinction on top of mass extinction pretty much.
Which is kind of what you need to start new eras in general. You know, like if you consider like the death of the dinosaurs, it wasn't just the one thing, because that was like something that already happened, right? Like we've seen that, like, oh yeah, a couple of them died and it was fine. But then it was like, no, there needed to be a confluence of events that was like, okay, just as they're recovering from the knockout punch, there comes like two more knockout punches with a baseball bat. You know, it's just like, that's what you need for the end of the species.
I kind of like the like lady swallowed a fly thing, you know, where it's like, we did one thing to get rid of the dragon, but then like the dragon poisoned the water. So then we tried to like correct that, but then we end up like killing off all the flies in the world. But then they like bodies didn't decompose and whatever. I don't know. Like just this like chain reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of like a chain reaction. You know, maybe we can toss in a twist here and figure out what is going on with that chain reaction. How do y'all feel about that?
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So fuck it. Let's throw in a twist. Our twist this time is... oh, that's fucking stupid. The big bad wasn't really the big bad. How do we make that interesting? Also, the twist in and of itself isn't bad. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, but I feel like the twist in this context is like kind of like, all right, come on. You know?
Didn't we already do that, kind of? Wasn't that the dragon wasn't the big bad? It was the aftermath of the dragon's absence?
Yeah. I mean, yes. We had that's why I'm disappointed in the twist. Why I might as well have rolled there's no twist.
Yeah, we could also do something with like I don't know, maybe governments at the time were aware of what would happen if this dragon was killed, but went through with it anyway for some reason.
Yeah, that just sounds like logical to me. Like yeah, there's no twist there.
How about the dragon actually would have it fed on fossil fuel and they were trying to protect the industry that still exists. Mm. And that's why they killed it off and knew that it was going to pollute. It's kind of an allegory at this point.
it's a bit on the nose, as the kids say.
Another thing too, is like, we haven't really dealt with what life is like in the actual post-apocalypse.
I suppose that's true.
We could bring the twist into that. Like,
no, Cordy, we're only dealing with this one specific event. Come on. I suppose, like, are we thinking, like, this is a gas mask world? What's the aesthetic like? I suppose we should start there. Because, like, is it Mad Max or is it, like, everything is, like, an acid violet swamp and you have to wear a gas mask everywhere just to breathe unless you're in, like, a settlement, but the air is all still there. Like, it's fucking Hades. Like, what are we thinking?
Yeah, I'm picturing, like, acid swamp kind of in the path of where this dragon died. Like I assume that it kind of fell to the earth and left a lot of stuff behind right by its corpse. And then also like the caldera itself just wiped out like North America basically.
Yeah, poison's very Elden Ring / Souls like of you, Courtney. That definitely works.
Blight. Yeah, I like the idea of everyone having to wear suits and masks and stuff like that and stay indoors or underground or whatever.
I do like the idea of the air being poison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the curses though? Is it the
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the big bad isn't really the big bad was what we rolled. Is it that like the environmental effects aren't actually bad in the long run?
Is it a restart?
Yeah,
they're just bad to us, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like all the other life on the planet currently, but
That still seems too catastrophic for us to be like, well, actually, it was the Jedi who were evil. Like, it doesn't jive well with me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Man, being creative is hard sometimes, I swear.
Mm-hmm. What if I just keep talking until a thought comes into my head regarding curses.
See, normally that's my job, John. So, like, you want to go for it? Go ahead.
The big bad wasn't big bad. Curses. We already got something monstrous. We're figuring out the sci-fi post-apocalyptic part.
Okay, maybe we should ask some questions that will lead us to some answers, right? So, what are people living for in the post-apocalypse? What is scarce and what do they need?
I would think food is scarce.
And non-poisoned water.
Yeah.
Okay, so basic commodities. Okay. So how do they get those things?
I think deep groundwater and filtration processes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So from there, we've now basically got the first two Fallout games. Mm-hmm. So where do we go from there? Because our atmosphere is inherently toxic. Mm-hmm. Are we basically dwarves at this point, forced to live underground, or like, what are we thinking here?
Oh, one, yes. But also I'm thinking that we can interpret the big bad isn't really the big bad, as the dragon's corpse in itself has led to the growth of things that help us survive in this new world. Mm-hmm. Like maybe harvesting parts of the corpse or stuff that grows around it is what helps us like filter air and like lets us breathe and filter water and stuff.
That's a great idea, Courtney, because like I'm imagining like how would a dragon survive its own breath weapon? It needs mm-hmm. something that's going to filter out those toxins. And yeah. So I'm thinking that like whoever the world powers are have literally pulled the lungs from this thing and are basically grafting or like making like skin grafts or like Ooh. Keeping this like organ alive, right? And that's what they're using as, you know, like kind of a filtration system, which is disgusting. But I also think it really works for what you're going for, Courtney.
Yeah, that's a really creepy image of like, I don't know, picturing a sort of final boss type final battle in a game or whatever. And you walk into some massive room and there's like this huge pair of lungs just like breathing in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And like they've got like tubes and shit hooked up, so it like it's trying to trick it into thinking that it's still connected to a body, right? And they're like shaving off pieces of it like slowly. Yeah, that's horrifying. I'm happy with this. Yeah, that's absolutely fucking terrifying. Okay, cool.
Good work, team.
Yeah.
So the curse is that we depend on the dragon no matter what. We are forever dependent.
I think what's cursed is this whole ass jam, frankly.
Maybe everyone just swears a lot in it, you know. It's like it's in a world filled of Andrew Dice Clays.
So wait a minute. It takes place in Boston then. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
It's wicked.
Or Philly. I mean, why not the whole Eastern Seaboard at this point?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm happy with those jams. This is a wild one, y'all. This is a fucking weird and wild ride that we've taken. That's for damn sure. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. How do y'all feel about that?
Yeah, though we never did anything with the sexy women on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm very blue-balled right now. Yeah. That's fine.
Okay, so very quickly, there was a dragon filter on TikTok for 15 minutes before the dragon died,
and it
made everyone sexy dragons. There, you're welcome.
Yeah, okay.
There we go. All right. Done.
Yep. Okay.
Put a bow on it.
So I don't know why you would, but if you wanted to support our podcast, you can do that by going to our Patreon. Or maybe what you really need to do is just provide us with better prompts, and you can do that by going to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. We're on social media, on YouTube and Twitter. On Twitter, it's a little different. It's at Let's World Build. You can come and talk to us. You can come shame us directly on our Discord. Come to our Discord, point and laugh, and then leave, and I will totally understand what's going on. But like I said, if you did want to support us, or if you wanted to give us money so we can maybe learn how to be better people, you can go to our Patreon and give us money there. And in return, we'll give you access to sweet, sweet patron-only goodies like Too Hot for Broadcast, the Aphid Lounge, and our patron-only Discord. That's going to do it for this episode of World Build With Us. Remember that we love you very much, and we're going to get through this together. Until next week.